The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. More painful than a Tyrannosaurus Rex stepping on your testicle. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is 7 o'clock on Monday evening, Central Time, which means you are listening to the Odyssey Files. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. Not with me tonight, as he has the night off, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. But with me, I have two very, very important people. They are investigators of my paranormal team. One, you heard a few weeks ago during our Crop Circles show, Miss Josie Brookman. And my other investigator, the one, the only, the exceptionally old Mr. Scott Shea. Good evening, ladies and gent.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I was going to say, this is where you guys talk. Pick up on the cues, guys.
Oh.
Step up.
I'm learning.
I know. And that's okay, because that's what this is all about. I have been in the paranormal now for about 8 years. I am still learning. So I'm even still learning how to do this radio show, as I'm sure longtime listeners know all about that. So, I'm just going to jump right into it. This is kind of just going to be a casual conversation about the paranormal between teams, kind of give you a little inside perspective of how Odyssey Paranormal Society works as a team. And I laugh about that because it's not exactly rainbows and sunshine, as I'm sure you guys can assess to. Oh, I don't even have Dave to bounce my words off of. So I might come up with random words that don't really mix. Just skip over it. Just put whatever word you think should be in there, and I'm sure that's what I said. So the one thing obviously we didn't get to, Josie, when you were on last time was kind of how you came to be a member of my team and why you joined, or not so much joined my team, but wanted to know or wanted to join a team. It just happened to be mine. Come to think of it, I don't think I know the answer to this. I am such a great director. I really know my investigators. So, tell all of us why that was.
So, as both you guys know, I've been into the paranormal since I was pretty little. I happened to find your team specifically looking for teams. And there were quite a few around the area, but I just liked the vibe of your team the best. I joined because I had weird experiences as a kid, and I wanted to learn answers. And when I saw your website and you said you were here to help people and to answer, help try to understand, I thought that was absolutely perfect.
So I have this question because nobody can really answer it for me. How did you find my website? Because I can't even find my website. and it baffled me because I'll get contacted by you know, potential clients and people who are seeking help. And they're like, I came across your website. My question is the same. How? Like, I can't even put in Twin Cities Paranormal Teams and be on the first page. So you have to, like, go through a whole bunch of people in order to get to us. So, I mean, was there something specific that you put in there? Because then I could throw that out there to people. This is what you search for if you're looking for us.
Oh, geez. That was, like, over a year ago now. I was watching a paranormal show on TV, and it kind of sparked some of the questions that I had. So I went online, and I'm like, paranormal teams in the Bloomington area or something like that. And I clicked a few web pages, a few of them which just didn't even work at all. I can't exactly remember the name of the website, I apologize, but it was a whole list of different paranormal investigators within Minnesota.
Parasocieties.com.
It might have been. It probably was. I just remember typing in my area code, and yours was the closest I could find. I did look at other teams before yours, but like I said, it had a link to your website on there. And I clicked it. I'm like, this has got to be it.
This will work. This will work. This website has got to work eventually.
I am very happy I came across your website.
Well, I am too. I am very happy that somebody at some point in time came across my website. But that it was you and that you did reach out. You are still, and for as long as you are a member of my team, will be the longest running member of it at the present moment. So it has been naturally just a joy working with you. I know not all your experiences during investigations have been positive, but we will definitely get into that later. But I don't want to leave Scott by himself. He may drift off to sleep since it is 7 o'clock. Scott, you and I had a different starting. You came up to me at the LeDuc, the Duke Mansion down in Hastings. I did an event there in October of last year, and you were looking to join. Now, were you looking for just a team in general to join, and I just happened to be there? or was it something that I had said or done that you liked, that was like, okay, I'm kind of looking for a team, but this team fits me better?
Well, I enjoyed the experience at the LeDuc. It was a Halloween event, and I wanted the experience of being with a group, and yours was the one doing the experience, the event. So the experience there was exactly what I was looking for. You and Josie seemed like good people to work with, good people to know, and it just clicked. I asked you if I could do some investigations with you, and you said, well, somebody had to give me a start, so I'll give you a start. And I appreciated that.
Did I actually say that? Because, I mean, that is something that is a reason why I like giving people who want to come out and give it a try the opportunity to do so, specifically because, you know, I was given that opportunity. You know, Dave, who obviously everybody knows, and another guy named Steve were directors of the team, and I wrote them up, asked them if it would be okay if I joined them to see what it was like, and they took me on. They didn't have to. Mm-hmm. I don't even think that they were really even looking for new members. You know, it's not like they're like, we're taking on new members. You know, we'll take anybody. You know, it's definitely something that I'm more privy to. And I do like doing it as long as their reasoning for doing so matches mine. If they want to be ghost hunters, or they want some sort of massive experience, you know, they want to be scratched, they want to have, you know, that full range of, you know, partial possession, you know, that kind of thing, then no, I probably won't. But if they want to learn what it's like to be an actual investigator and go on investigations with respect and safety in mind, then yeah, absolutely. And I know that I told you to contact me. Didn't know if you would or not, because I say that to a lot of people and hardly anybody ever does. But I think it was like, what, a week or two later, you actually did?
Yeah.
And, you know, you reminded me of who you introduced yourself again and let me know who you were. And I asked you to tell me a little bit about yourself, which I do with all new members. Mm-hmm. I like to know just briefly, you know, the kind of person you are, why you want to join, that kind of thing. And your response back to me shocked the living crap out of me. I seriously, and I don't know if I ever told you this, I thought you were lying. I thought you were making stuff up. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to have you tell everybody kind of what you told me, not verbatim, obviously, but, you know, just some of the things that you had mentioned in your email to me, as to like your qualifications and what you thought you could bring to the team. And so please do that now.
Okay. Well, I started studying the subject matter back in the 1970s, when I was in high school. I'm 62 years old now. I have a bachelor's in religious studies, a master's in spirituality, a master's in ministry, a master's in counseling psychology, and a PhD in metaphysics and theology. Coming into this practical aspect of investigating supposedly haunted places was the next logical step in the development of what I've been doing all of my life. So I got so much theory behind me, I wanted to get more practical experience.
See people, this is what I'm talking about. So this is what he sends me. Very first, like, I just want everybody to understand something here. It's not usually professors and, you know, like senators and people of quote unquote higher standing that typically want to join a paranormal team. So I usually get, you know, I'm a dock worker, I'm a truck driver, you know, I'm a paramedic, you know, that, and there's nothing wrong with paramedics. I would put them above what I do at any day of the week. But it's usually like, yeah, I watch the shows, really want to try this out, it looks really cool. I mean, that's usually what I get. So having seen an email all of a sudden come in that's, you know, like 4 degrees and I'm an ordained minister, and I'm just like, yeah, right. I'm like, you wish, buddy. So it's a breath of fresh air. I guess you could say that it's true. You haven't had, because of other things that I was doing at that time, you've only just recently been able to really get out, to get out with us. So, and we got a lot of things coming up that are very good. So we should definitely be busy this next year and in the next couple months, where you will be able to get more of that. But how, for the both of you, Scott, we'll start with you. How has it been so far? I mean, everybody comes in with expectations, and I think a lot of people, like I said, see the shows and they're not prepared for the amount of work and other things that have to be done in order to complete an actual investigation. So your experiences so far compared to your expectations coming into this, how do they match up?
Well, I think the experience have been pretty much what I expected. A lot of work in reviewing the evidence. The only disappointment I had is that sometimes with the investigations, they're not as active as I wish they would be. I have to be patient and sit back and wait for something to happen. Doesn't always happen. So that was something that I was slightly disappointed about, but I expected that too. I knew that I was going to have to be patient and wait for something to happen. I wasn't going to have something happen every minute of every investigation that I went on. I wish that could happen, but it doesn't. But I've enjoyed every investigation we've done so far.
Sweet. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But it really helps that you at least knew that you were going to have to do some work.
Yeah.
A lot of people believe that the investigation or the case ends at the investigation. So when all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, you have 15 hours of evidence to go over. And that's you. That's your version. That's your portion of it.
I enjoy that part of it too.
Really? Well, give it time, Scott. That'll go away real quick.
Even though after a while it goes off a little, but you know.
We all doze off a little. Try watching DVR. It's terrible. So Josie, same question to you. You've obviously been with me a hell of a lot longer than Scott. You've been on more investigations, but still, your expectations coming into joining a team to what it is actually like for you. How did those match up, or how do they match up, I guess I should say?
So one of the reasons I did join your team is because it was, you know, I figured as much it was going to be more serious, and that expectation held true. You know, despite all the people who hate the rule sets that you have, I feel like they are very much necessary. And that's, you know, honestly what I expected from joining a real investigation team. I was prepared for the work. I was prepared for the amount of hours of work. I was not prepared for how boring DVR is.
No, nobody is. So I don't know if I've ever used this metaphor on the air before. Or on this show, but seriously, people, DVR watching is literally watching paint dry. You know, everybody uses that metaphor. Oh, it's as boring as watching paint dry. Well, this is watching paint dry, because all you do is watch one hallway, one room, whether it's empty, whether it's full, doesn't matter. There's no sound to it because I have a 4K system, which I love so much, but it has no audio. So unless you want to sync up audio or listen to music while watching it, it's just silence and watching. It's like if you put a chair at the end of your hallway and just sat there for 3 hours.
I can tell you. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I can tell you right now, if you watch DVR, do not sit on your own bed. Don't do it.
Do I want to know why that is your suggestion?
You will guarantee to fall asleep, and then you'll miss the next 5 hours of evidence.
Well, no, you won't, because then you just have to go back and do it again.
Exactly. That's why you don't go into your room and watch DVR.
Yeah, you definitely need something to focus on, or something that keeps your mind somewhat entertained. Otherwise, you will just it's happened very, very much so. I will admit to doing it. I think everybody, any investigator that has a DVR system is gonna have to admit to it. Otherwise, they're lying.
But it feels really good when you finally do catch something on it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I haven't caught much. There's a lot of orbs. There's a lot of dust. It's like 95% dust, like 2% orbs, and, you know, what, 3% just watching stuff. But, yeah, you don't get a lot from the DVR. But you need to have it there. If anything, not even so much to capture evidence, but at least capture evidence on the DVR, but to confirm the evidence you do get elsewhere. You know, if you have a recorder in a room and you have a DVR camera watching the entrance to that room, and something happens in that room, that whether it's an EVP, whether it's a bed sliding, you know, closet door open, whatever the sound is, if your DVR sees that nobody was anywhere near that room, then it confirms the evidence you caught on that recorder. So it's necessary from a lot of different views. But I think the problem is you only have so much camera, so many cameras, I should say, and you have a lot of places you can set them. So would you two agree that finding the right place to set them is also as important?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Thankfully, although I try to use as little, I mean, mine is eight cameras. I have never used all eight. I try very hard not to use more than four. But because that's way too much DVR. But that's why I have you guys. So, Josie, I have two questions for something that you had said during why you want to join the team. Now, not naming names here, unless it's Scott, then you can go ahead and name names. Who doesn't like my rule set?
So, on my very first investigation with you, he had an investigator that is thankfully no longer with us. Who completely spazzed out about his rule set because she couldn't drink, I think it was like a Mountain Dew or something, in the middle of an EVP session, which the EVP could have easily very much picked up on. Then you wouldn't know what is what. So it's simple rules sometimes go a long way.
Yes, they do. But, I mean, that's actually not one of my rules. I mean, that's just normal. That should just be common sense that you don't So basically, it was your first investigation with the team. It was at the LeDuc Mansion. And we're doing an EVP. I also have a high school student who is doing a paper for school on paranormal investigation. So she's coming along on this one. And she's in the room with us. We're in the middle of an EVP session. She's like, I got to go and get a drink. I'm like, all right. I have no problem with that whatsoever. If you need a drink, if you're parched, sure, say something, then go get one. The problem was she brought it back with her. And it screwed tight. So, unscrewing the cap and then just take these big chugs right in the middle of an EVP session. So, of course, yeah, I had an issue with it. Because what are you doing? And she took exception to my taking exception to it. And I think the one where I had the biggest thing is when she offered you, Josie, she offered you whether you wanted a drink or not. Right during the right in the middle of the EVP session. So that's when I spoke up, and she got an attitude. She's pretty much done about 30 seconds later. It was like, there's the front door. You go sit in the car, since I drove everybody to the investigation. Yeah. So she actually had somebody come pick her up since we were like right at the beginning of the investigation, and haven't seen her since. So perfectly all right with that.
Yeah. Well, when I went out, I think I went to go get some medicine and a drink because my head was hurting. During one of our breaks, and I went outside. She was standing outside waiting for somebody to come pick her up, and she was talking about, you know, how your rules made everything so suffocating, and that she was gonna, you know, make her own team, buy her own equipment, investigate her grandmother's house. I'm like, I don't know. I'm brand new to this. I don't know what's going on.
I did feel very, very bad that it was your first investigation. Logan, who was the high school student doing it, because that had never happened to me before on an investigation. I've gotten into arguments, plenty of arguments with investigators about this and that. Why can't they do this? Why can't we do that? That's the first time it ever happened during an investigation. And I felt so bad that she had to see that, and that your first exposure to it saw that too. I didn't want either of you to think that's a normal thing to go through, because it isn't. And thankfully, it hasn't happened since. So everybody who has ever been a member of my team has conducted themselves very professionally during any investigation. So I obviously thank you guys for that, but I would not expect any less, you know, from either of you. So my second question, and this is kind of putting you guys on the spot, and if you don't get them all, that's fine. I want to see how many you can get. And Scott, you join in as well. What are my rules? Can you name them all?
Never investigate alone.
Don't ever investigate your own home or a friend's home or a family's home.
Okay, that's two. There's nine.
We are great at this.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm putting you on the spot. I really hope you get more than two.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a little sad. And I know I've read them all on multiple occasions, too.
And just read them out recently again.
Is conducting yourself more professionally part of it?
No. Not really. Well, I mean, you'd have to get more, you'd have to get more into detail. I mean, obviously the way you conduct yourself is definitely a rule, but it's very specific.
But your rules are such common sense things. I don't really think about
it. I guess I don't really think about it. Because they're
way
just...
to come up with that one, Scott.
I was thinking that before he even said it.
Well, you got rule number one or rule number two, which is never investigate alone and never investigate your own home or location where you have personal ties, mm-hmm. where you would be emotionally vulnerable to try and figure out what is going on. I mean, obviously, if it's like a friend or an acquaintance that you see once a month, if that, maybe even less, and you have no real... They just contact you because they knew what you were doing. You knew that you were an investigator and they wanted you to come and investigate their home. I would not consider that to be a breakage of rule number two because you have no humongously important emotional tie to this person or this home.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got never provoke a spirit or invite them to connect to you or to follow you outside the situation.
You got number three and number six. Number three is never invite a spirit to do anything to you. And rule number six is do not provoke. That is correct. Okay, you're up to four. You got five left.
And
I'll give you number four. Never whisper, hum, sing, or mumble during investigation, and if you do, tag it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And I've enforced that rule before to others too.
Yes, you have.
I should have remembered that.
I've been so proud of you every time I hear. I remember at Edinburgh the first time that we were there. Somebody wanted to do something, and I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was they wanted to go off by themselves. And I'm setting up the DVR on the porch area, and you guys are all at base camp. And I could hear you be like, well, rule number one is you never investigate alone. And I just remember getting this huge grin on my face. I'm like, yeah, that's right. But I was so proud of you at that moment. But... yeah, so that's number four. Nothing else? Wow. Okay, well, you got four. It's not too bad.
And you're sitting there reading them off the screen.
You're reading them off the screen?
No, you are. You're sitting there reading them off your list. And we're trying to remember.
I have them on the huge board. Oh, I don't think I could get them all. I think I get most of them, but it's become such second nature to me that I do have them on the huge board here. Oh,
is it always wear your team shirt?
No. That's actually not one of my rules.
That's an unwritten rule.
That's something I really don't see why I would have to actually have a rule that says to present the fact that you're part of the team with the team during an investigation. And plus that's really only during an investigation when it comes to, a presentation or something like that. But anything that is just, you know, dinner with the team or evidence review with the team, I don't care. So if it's one of those ones, so it's not like always, I don't particularly think I need to write it down.
How about number five? Always be respectful to the people and spirits in a location.
No, that is actually not a rule either. Okay. That kind of goes along with the number six, do not provoke.
Okay.
The exact opposite of that, obviously, being respectful. And again, it should that should be common sense.
Yeah.
But maybe I should. Maybe I should have that down as a rule. Rule number 10. Rule number 5 is never run.
Mm.
That's one for safety, obviously. Never want to just actually, like, literally run. But it doesn't bode well for the client when they see the investigator coming to help them booking it out the door. So we need to stand our ground. Thankfully, we've never come across anything that's somewhat negative. But I don't think that we have come across anything that has made us have to stand there and try to make that choice. Do I run or do I stand my ground?
Yeah.
So thankful for that.
Any of the investigations I've been on, I have never had, it has never even occurred to me to run for any reason.
No. I've been very thankful that even if it has the potential of a negative type thing, it just stays away from me. So I've never particularly had an issue with that. Number 7, always speak up. So, I mean, you guys know what that's about. If you're experiencing something, do not keep it to yourself. You know, a lot of investigators, when they come out, feel that if they interrupt a session or something like that, and that they're experiencing something, that people get mad at them. And I'm like, no, you need to speak up. It needs to be told what you're experiencing, so we can determine whether we need to get you out of that area or not. Stay in there. And you broke that rule yourself.
I did, but I learned my lesson very quickly after that. I did.
Yes, you did. So just real quick, the last two. Number 8, no piece of evidence gets presented to a client unless it has been reviewed by the entire team that was there. So okay. It's never just my opinion. It's never just your opinion. You know, it's all of ours. And number 9, cell phones are always on airplane mode or off during an investigation. So those are my rules. I don't think they're that bad or hard to follow. I don't. And for the most part, nor do I believe that they in some way suffocate somebody from enjoying and investigating a location. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Okay.
Well, no.
What about you, Josie?
I don't find them suffocating at all. Then exactly. Again, I joined the team knowing there's going to be rules too.
I don't know if a lot of people do. I think it catches people off guard a little bit that it's not just a free-for-all. And go ahead and ask whatever you want and go ahead and do whatever you want. And it's not the case, at least not on my team. I mean, there are probably teams out there, none that I know of, that do that kind of stuff. I mean, I do know that there are teams out there that only do rumored historic locations that are haunted. They don't help people at all. I do not personally agree with that type of mindset, but it works. It's what they want to do. To each their own, I guess. But we're going to take a commercial break here. And I know a lot of people turn off the show during commercials, because why not? But I really think you guys need to stick around for this one, because we are going to premiere the new Elizabeth Saint promo that we did last week. Yeah. and it's awesome. It's probably my new favorite one. So with that, we will be back in a couple minutes. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear...
Line!
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
UFOs,
people,
cryptids.
Oh, I'm just on the call. Just think if you listen to the words of Para-X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
This is Elizabeth Saint. You know, in my journeys, I've confronted an over 1,000-year-old demon from the depths of Shepherdstown. But then, you know what happened? I came across Mike and Dave. And hot damn, nothing could have prepared me for the Odyssey Files. My second favorite radio show. I love you guys.
And we are back. I hope you guys stuck around for that one. God, that's hilarious. I thank Elizabeth Saint for doing that for Dave and I. yes, Josie, it was the one that I had you listen on my phone. So, okay, so we're back, obviously. I have two of my investigators, Josie and Scott. Scott, being a ordained minister and having all of these degrees and whatnot, I'd like your take on... It's not a humongous part of how I investigate. I'm not all that religious at all. But I would like your take on the role that religion takes, not only in the paranormal, but during investigations.
Okay. First of all, I think that your experience of the afterlife, your experience of paranormal phenomena, is extremely influenced and dependent on what your belief system is. What you experience is going to be based on what you believe in. Okay, does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
Next thing, from a viewpoint of science and particularly atheism, all religion is paranormal and irrational because it cannot be proven by science. Okay. So anything that has to do with religion is scientifically paranormal. Okay. The different religions have different viewpoints on it. Belief in spirits is pretty much universal. Whether you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever, pagan, witchcraft, belief in spirits is universal with all of them. Native American spirituality is very strong in the belief in spirits. Some of them will believe, as I do, that ghosts are not the same thing as spirits. I don't like the word ghost. because it has too many connotations to it. There are some that believe that any spirits you contact are evil or counter to religion. I think in part that comes out of an old Jewish belief that we must be dependent on God and rely on God and no one else. And anything that is revealed to us that isn't God is evil. Okay. There's a similar belief in Islam. Muslims believe something very similar. In the Muslim religion, there is a Muslim is who sees a spirit in like a haunted location is likely to say that that's not necessarily a spirit, it's probably a jinn. And there are different types of jinn that are very similar to angels or demons. What people believe about the paranormal is depends in a great deal on what religion they follow. In Buddhism, they're more likely to see spirits as, well, they believe in the angels to some extent, but they may look on it more as our ancestors trying to contact us or give us guidance from the other side. Hinduism is very strong in the belief in spirits. For many Hindus, they believe that the spirits that we experience in like haunted locations are disembodied spirits who are waiting for a new body and to come along and for their reincarnation. And also many Hindus will say that the reason that the spirits manifest themselves to us is because they have experienced some kind of trauma at the time of their death and are still trying to deal with their death. Other religious groups will say that the spirits don't know that they're dead. They're still living their lives. They've crossed over, but they're not aware that they've crossed over. And so they're still present in our world and all around us. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I was wondering whether I should chime in or not. So, I know that one of the things that you wanted to do, joining this team, was to get that practical experience of the scientific side of things. But why do you think, like I said, the religious type of thing is not something that I do a lot of during investigations, hardly ever. But every so often, I will bring up God, and I will bring up some type of a religious question. Why do you think religious provocation? And that's not what I do, but it's a concept that a lot of people use, especially Dave does. Why do you think that is so powerful in to spirits in order to try to use the name of God and Jesus in order to get them to in order to get spirits to cooperate with you or to do a certain thing. Because a lot of people say, like, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave. You know, that kind of thing. But it usually only pisses them off. Why do you think that is?
Why do I think that people try to do that? Or why do I think that it influences the spirits?
Both.
Again, it depends on your religious beliefs. It's not only people saying in the name of Jesus do this. People who don't believe in Jesus can also do exorcisms and command spirits to leave. In the name of Buddha or Muhammad or Allah. All the religions have exorcism rites. And what you're actually doing there is calling upon more powerful spirits to control or cast out or manipulate the less powerful spirits that you're being faced with.
So it's not sending them back to where they came from?
It could be. It depends on the kind of spirit that's active there. There are different kinds of spirits. There are different levels of power in these different spirits. Some of them have a power to possess an individual, and some don't.
So let me ask you this. Can an atheist invoke the power of God? Or do you believe that the reason for anybody who is invoking any sort of godlike being, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Jesus Christ, whether it's Krishna, Muhammad, you know, in any of their gods that they believe in, do you believe it is more of a faith type power? That, because there's one thing that I've known, especially like when using Ouija boards, the energy that you put into something and the intent that you have is very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the power you have inside of you? Is it the faith that you keep and the belief that you have? Is that the real power that you are then focusing in on the name of whatever God you're trying to bring forth to help you?
The answer to that is yes and no.
Sweet.
I think faith is very powerful. And your belief in what you are saying is going to make your statements more powerful, is going to give you greater power. I think it is possible for an atheist to call on the name of God or invoke God, because it's God that's doing it, not the atheist. God is the one that's actually doing the exorcism or the consecration of the location or whatever. It's not the atheist that's doing it. There are many examples in the New Testament where God or Jesus did something in order to create faith in the individual rather than responding to their faith. If you follow that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I definitely do. Then let's say, for the sake of argument, that it is faith that or faith in whatever it is you are trying to bring down to help you. Is it possible, and I think this kind of takes religion out of it, so I don't know exactly what your answer is going to be, but do you think if you had complete faith in yourself, that it would create the same type of reaction? Not so much exorcism-wise, mm-hmm. but, or if you had complete faith in your reasons for doing something. Like, let's say you completely go into a location and all you really want to do is help. That is what you want to do. There's nothing that you don't care about anything else. You just want to help. Even if you have to put yourself at risk in order to do that. And you have faith that what you are doing is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that is what you base everything on. Could it have the same effect?
I think so. Because in doing that, we cannot do anything outside of relationship. Okay, we are beings of relationship, and when we put that faith in ourselves and our own spiritual power, we are connected to all of spirituality, to all the spirits, the gods, whatever. We are connected with all of them, and putting this faith in ourselves, we are calling in all of that spiritual power into ourselves and using that as a means of doing whatever it is that we are trying to do. As long as we are doing it for the good of someone else and not to get something out of it for ourselves, we are going to have the power of love, the power of spirit, to do what we are trying to do. Probably the one that's most open about that is in witchcraft and paganism, when they talk about they so often end their prayers. In this is my will, so mote it be. Well, they speak about doing it through their own will, and we have that power to influence. That's what the in witchcraft and paganism, the definition of magic is our ability to influence the world around us. And we do have that power through our own spirituality, through the expression of love, trying to do good in the world. That gives us power.
Sweet. Okay. So we got about a minute and a half left. So I'm going to ask, I want each of you to answer very quickly. So, Josie, we'll start with you. Being an investigator and having the experiences that you have had so far, whether it was before the team or after joining, what is one quick piece of advice you would give other people in your where you used to be? If they wanted to join a team or get into this, and what is one quick piece of advice that you would give them?
Always be prepared for something that might happen. Whether you have to really stand your ground, because if you don't, whether you're provoking or not, you can still get hurt. That's why you got to be careful.
Nice. What about you, Scott?
Don't expect something to happen every time you go out. No. Be patient. Let the experiences come. Don't try to make them happen.
Exactly. spirits they are not obligated to entertain you.
Right.
And end of story. You know, if they do talk to you, if they do give you any sort of interaction, that is their choice. Okay. Well, that is all for us. I want to thank Scott and Josie, especially for coming on tonight and joining me for this conversation. I enjoyed it thoroughly. thank you, both of you. And hopefully we're still waiting on confirmation for our guests next week, but hopefully it will come soon, and we'll have a great show for you in 1 week. So for us here at the Odyssey Files, I bid you good night.